Revelation 21, verse 4, but we're going to read from verse 3. This is the reading of God's Word. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time. We are hearing your word. But Father, do not leave us alone, but your Spirit will work even now, so that you may grant us an ear to hear your word, hear your voice through your word, telling us the wonderful stories of Jesus Christ and the salvation that he has accomplished. And Father, we pray that our faith will grow as we hear your word. It will be more and more like your Son. That we'll be able to live by faith, imitating your Son, Jesus Christ, in our lives. Oh, Father, we pray that your word will be preached correctly and that your word will be understood by your people and believed by your people and obeyed by your people. Oh, Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You and I, we are looking at heaven. And the Bible is the only place that we are able to look at heaven, the new heaven and the new earth, the holy city, New Jerusalem. Not an earthly Jerusalem, but heavenly Jerusalem. The forever holy bride of God. And that God is with his people forever and ever. And we come to verse 4 today. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Our eternal husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, wipes away all our tears. And in heaven, there will be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. But I want you to look at this verse in this way today, because it's talking about when the heaven will be visible, meaning that when Jesus returns, heaven will be visible, and from then on, there's no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain. But this also means that until our Lord's second coming, there in this world will be death, mourning, crying, and pain. And this is very, very important for us to truly understand. We have a similar passage in Romans 8, and let us go there and try to understand this passage that we're reading today. Go to Romans chapter 8. Verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is this saying? Is it saying that when we believe and when we are saved, that our life will have no tribulation, no distress, no persecution? No, that is not what Paul is saying. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and sore, these things will happen. But his point is that these things will happen, but even if these things happen, that does not mean that we are separated from the love of Christ. That is his point. He's not giving us false hope that once you come to Jesus Christ, that you will have no more these things. No, what he's saying is that your life is full of these things. But remember that even when these things happen, that does not mean that we are separated from the love of Christ. So many people think that when there's such bad things happen, so-called bad things in this world happens, first thing they do is, oh, how come? I mean, if God loves me, then why these things happen? If God is such a loving God, then why these things happen? Maybe he doesn't love me anymore. Paul is saying that is not how you should think. Because these things are not proof that you are separated from the love of God. Of course, in heaven, we're not going to face any of these things. In heaven, these things have nothing to do with us. But not until his second coming, or when we go to heaven, these things will happen. But people misunderstand. Their misunderstanding is that when they become Christians, that somehow God promised to us that he will get rid of all these things in our lives. Why this misunderstanding? Because people just do not understand the gospel. In the beginning, God created the world without these things. It was a perfect world before Adam sinned. But through the sin of Adam, these things come as God's righteous judgment and his curse upon this sinful world. The wage of sin is death. And we all sinned. That's why death exists in this world. And when we say death, not only physical death, but eternal death. But our Lord Jesus Christ came and has completely and perfectly accomplished our eternal salvation through his death on the cross and the resurrection from the dead and his perfect life for his people. Now what we need to understand is that for his people, as they live their lives in this world, these things are no longer God's judgment nor his curse. We are not able to look at these things in a bad light. That time has ended as the Old Testament time has ended. Now you need to really understand what we're trying to say today. Because your life will be full of sufferings. But why? And let's learn from the Bible. First, hear what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 1:21. Paul says, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Did you hear that? Did you hear what Paul says? To die is gain. Death is no longer a bad thing. To die is gain. It is actually a good thing. Now, this is something you need to understand. What has happened so that death is no longer a bad thing? See, if you understand these things, you know, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and sore. If you understand these things as a bad things, where does your understanding come from? Obviously, when you talk to non-Christians out there, anybody out there will tell you that death is a bad thing. But the Bible says death is a good thing. Today, you need to really understand that your thinking has to be according to the Bible, not what the world says. Because of what Christ has accomplished, tribulation, distress, persecution, and all these things are now good thing for us. And I need to explain that to you because, you know, you have to see that through the Bible. These things are actually good things. They are God's ways of fulfilling His will in the lives of His people and His church. Yes, the eternal salvation is accomplished, but we go through sufferings in this world. Then the question is, then, what are the purpose and the meaning of sufferings for Christians today? That is the question we would like to answer today. For us Christians, to suffer is now to become more like Christ. We are called to imitate Christ. We are called to participate in the life of Christ, and the life of Christ was a life of sufferings and persecutions. For Christ, suffering was from His birth. Can you just see it? The King of the kings and the Lord of lords was born in a manger. And He was on the move, fleeing from King Herod. I thought He was the king. Even before He does anything, the world hates Him. He was just being born. And the worldly king wants to kill Him. What did He do? Just because of who He is, He was hated. And this is the fact. Just because of who you are in Christ, the world will hate you. It's God's promise. It's not like you did something or you said something. Of course that will come too, but even if you don't do anything, you don't say anything, just because of who you are in Christ, God told us that the world will hate you. Isaiah 53. We're going to read so many verses today, so keep up. Isaiah, and if you don't want to keep up, then just relax and listen to what I read to you. Isaiah 53 verse 1 is talking about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who has believed our message and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed. For he, the Messiah, grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. You know, when we look at, I guess, movie stars. I mean, think about it. If a famous movie star walks by, what are you going to do? You're going to look at him or look at her. Because they are beautiful. How about Jesus Christ? You know, we draw Jesus Christ as a beautiful blonde person with the blue eyes and, you know, we draw like that and you know, woo, he's handsome looking. That somehow Jesus walks by, everyone will turn to see him. But that is not what the Bible tells us. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men. This is the life that the world hates the most. But Jesus' life was the life that brought glory to God. And brothers and sisters, you and I are now invited to live the same life. And let us see what the Bible says about the sufferings. What is the meaning and the purpose of sufferings that we go through? And are they really bad things? Or is it actually blessings to you? 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. Now, you know, obviously this kind of teaching, it's not going to be popular. I mean, what does the world tell slaves to do? It tells slaves to go and free themselves, overthrow the masters and be free. You know, in the Bible, nowhere in the Bible, God tells slaves to go overthrow masters. It always says to slaves, what? Go obey. Now, how is that going to be acceptable to the world? And he says that you should be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly. Even when you suffer unjustly, God doesn't tell you to go and what? Demand your rights. Nowhere in the Bible tells you to go demand your rights. Even when you are treated unjustly, you bear it. And this finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose. You know, it gets worse and worse, huh? We are called to be suffer unjustly. But that's exactly what the Bible says. For you have been called for this purpose since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. So his life is our example. We are actually called to live the same life that he lived. And we are called for this. Jesus Christ, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, and while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him, God, the Father, who just judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. Is your life full of sufferings? Well, don't think that some strange thing is happening to you. But you should be happy that you are sharing in the sufferings of Christ. Now, obviously, sufferings come in all kinds of different shapes and sizes. And obviously, I'm not saying, you know, let us suffer, meaning let us be just poor and let us go to jail. No. Even when you're rich, you suffer because of Christ. But when you do find yourself in those kind of situations, don't think that some strange thing is happening to you. But rejoice. Because you are sharing the sufferings of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to go a little bit faster because there are so many verses I have to read to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5 says, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. Sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. John describes himself as this way. Revelation chapter 1 verse 9. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus. John understands himself as a Christian. He understands himself as a partaker, fellow partaker in tribulation. Is that your understanding of who you are as a Christian? And that is a very, very important concept. All Christians suffer in this world. It's not like, you know, only few Christians suffer. Bible clearly tells us all Christians suffer. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren. So sufferings are common to all Christians. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So first of all, it's not a strange thing that Christians go through so much difficult times, sufferings, and persecutions. Because our life is all about participating in the life of Christ. And Christ, our Lord, whom we love, lived a life of suffering. And it is our great honor to share that suffering, to participate in that suffering of Jesus Christ. So, the Bible tells us, don't think that some strange thing is happening when you suffer. But why? What is the meaning and purpose of this suffering? Okay, it is to participate in the life of Christ. It is to imitate Christ. And that is definitely enough reason, important reason for us to do that. But Bible tells us more. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Sufferings actually make us perfect. Chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. You know, when I start beginning to, believe in God, when I was starting to study the Bible, these kind of verses gave me so much problems. It says, when I suffer, rejoice. Huh? What does that mean? Because the world cannot understand this kind of stuff. And at that time, I was thinking and processing all my thinking according to how the world taught me. So this kind of verse doesn't make any sense. Consider it pure joy, all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. But it gives reason why we should rejoice, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. What's the purpose of suffering? Well, it's testing of our faith. And it is good for us, because only through that we will become perfect. Now, why is this? Well, go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. This is talking about Jesus Christ. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. You know, this kind of verse gives us so much joy because even Jesus Christ, loud crying and tears, he prayed to God. And look at what it says, verse 8. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. So how did Jesus become perfect? Through the sufferings. Just like what James said, that we should consider sufferings pure joy because these things will make us perfect. Now here, when Jesus is becoming perfect through sufferings, we're not talking about Jesus as God. You know, he's always perfect. He's already perfect. We're talking about Jesus as the Messiah, as man, as the Savior. The Messiah, not as the Savior. Savior is still God. I should say Messiah. He became perfect through sufferings. He learned what? The obedience through sufferings. This is the way of God. This is his method of making us perfect. Now, you know, if you don't like God's way, that's one thing. But first understand what the Bible tells you. And if you don't want to accept that, you know, then what can I do? But understand what the Bible tells you. Sufferings are not bad things. That's what the world says. World says sufferings are bad. You know, suffering, through suffering, he is making us perfect and he is treating us as his sons. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. You know, some people brag about how his life is free of suffering. Well, then you need to be very afraid. Maybe you're not really Christian. Because if you are truly his son, God disciplines you. If he loves you, he will scourge you. This is true of even non-Christians. If father loves the father will always discipline the son. Even when, you know, son does bad things, father just leaves him alone, then father doesn't really love him. Because he loves, he will discipline his own son. So your life will be full of this disciplining of God. And sufferings make us look to God and God alone. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. They really thought that they were going to die. That's how much they suffered. Verse 9, indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves. But why all these things happen? So that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Do you understand that? They suffer till the point of death so that they would trust God. They will hold on to God. That they will lean on to God and God alone. And that is so true of us too. When our lives are just, you know, ease, then we don't really cry out to God. It's when something really happens, then we say, oh, Father, oh, Jesus, help us. And it is a good thing. Anything that helps you to seek God more, that is blessing to you. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. By now, I want you to understand that suffering is the will of God for you. Acts chapter 14, verse 22b says, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29 says what? For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Did you hear that? You're not only saved so that you may believe him, but also to suffer for his sake. Thus, Apostle Paul says what? Chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 10. Look at this, what Apostle Paul says. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Is this what you desire to know? The fellowship of his suffering. Do you seek to know what it means to suffer so that you may have fellowship in his suffering? Yeah. This kind of message will go well with non-Christians. No, they come to Christ so that they may not suffer anymore. They don't come to Christ to suffer more. But now, of course, it's suffering for Christ now because of your faith. Why would anybody want to come to Christ to suffer? But that is the will of God. It is our joy to suffer for Christ. Not only is it our desire to suffer for Christ, it is our joy. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4. Great is my confidence in you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am overflowing with joy in all our affliction. Do you understand what this is saying? Overflowing with joy in sufferings. Acts chapter 5. Let us go there together. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. This is a story of disciples. They were captured because they were preaching Jesus Christ. They were witnessing Jesus Christ, so that these people actually put them in jail. And this is what we read. Go to Acts chapter 5, verse 41. Well, 40. I'll read to you verse 40. They took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them, they beat them, and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then released them. So they told apostles, don't speak of Jesus, and beat them, and released. And look at what we read in verse 41. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing. They just been beat up, but rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. What was the reason for their joy? Because they realized that God considers them worthy to receive suffering for Jesus Christ. Does that bring joy to you? You know, keep saying these things, and you'll know what we're talking about. People will not like you. But of course we have to say these things in love. It's not just to go out and so that they will hate us. But we have to speak the truth. We have to preach the true gospel. The sufferings come in all kinds and all sizes and all shapes. And we are not just saying let us be poor or like go to jail like I said before. Even the rich suffers the same way because of Christ. And during the sufferings, God wants us to be faithful until death. Do you remember his message to one of the church in Revelation chapter 2? I read to you verse 10, chapter 2, verse 10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death and I will give you the crown of life. You know, if you really understand what he's saying, you know, you're going to suffer greatly. And rather than God promising, you know, like this, but I will save you. So I will be there so that you don't have to do that. Rather than that, he says, well, be faithful until death. But afterwards, I will give you a crown of life. He doesn't say anything about relieving your suffering in this world. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If anyone wishes to come after me, if you want to follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Do you understand what it means to take up your crosses daily? Jesus has already showed us what it means to take up his cross. Now, after reading all this, I mean, it is very, very obvious from the Bible that it is God's will for us to suffer for Christ. There's no getting around that fact. And we are learning what is the true meaning and purpose of our sufferings. It is not bad. It is actually God's way of making us more like Christ. It is God's way of making us perfect. But if you're like me, I'm troubled because I have no confidence I could go through with these kind of sufferings. Are you confident that you are able to do this? Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look at this. Jesus Christ endured the cross for what? For the joy set before him. Now, even as Jesus was dying on the cross, what do you think the joy that was before him? Because after he died, he ascended to heaven. And his life was all about now heavenly life. So what was joy that was set before him even as he dies on the cross? How was he able to endure the cross for the joy that was before him? It's a heavenly joy. It's knowing what kind of life that he will live with his people in heaven. Now, how else you and I, are we going to endure our crosses if not the joy that is set before us? Heavenly joy. The eternal life with God in heaven. We do the same. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. How was Paul endure the sufferings that he went through? Because he understands that all the sufferings that he went through, and he went through a lot. But he understands that that cannot be compared to the glory that is to come to him. That is to be revealed to him. There is no comparison. This is how he endures his suffering. My point is that if you do not have your eyes upon heaven, there's no way you're going to endure this suffering with joy. Because suffering, obviously, is not joyful. But that you are able to endure it with joy because of your faith in heaven. The glory that is to be revealed. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Do you understand? Because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished, even when we are afflicted in every way, but we are never crushed, perplexed but never despairing, persecuted but never forsaken, struck down but never destroyed. Second Corinthians chapter 10, chapter 12, verse 9. Chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in him. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distress, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Our boast is about our weaknesses. Because when I'm weak, now that is opportunity for God's power to shine. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. For I think God has exhibited us apostles last of all, as men condemned to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are prudent in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are without honor. To this present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty, and are poorly clothed, and are roughly treated, and are homeless, and we toil, working with our own hands. When we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to conciliate. We have become as the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now. Scum of the world. And yet, they look to heaven. They look to Jesus Christ and endured with joy. Because 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let us, through God's word, look at the things unseen. And that is the passage that we just read for today. Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Endure with patience and even joy. And we don't have to wait that long. Longest that we wait is, what, 100 years? Or God might come back before that. Or if he doesn't come before that, then we will go to him. It's not forever. Always remember that spiritually it is our already accomplished reality of heaven. Yes, already our eternal husband, Jesus Christ, wipes away our tears from our faces. Remember, sufferings are not bad. Even the death is a gain. Thus for us, Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. See, your and my concern is not about how much we suffer. Even if we die, whether we live or die, our concern is that Jesus will be exalted in our lives, in our body, in our church. That's our concern. Man, the glorious life that God has called us to live. And I pray that this will bring joy to you. That God considers you worthy to suffer for Christ. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. Oh Father, our life had no meaning whatsoever because it was completely in sin. But Father, you have saved us and gave us eternal meaning to our lives. Now we are called to live like Christ, participate in the glorious life that he has lived. Oh Father, we thank you for considering us worthy to receive sufferings for your Son, Jesus Christ. Make us perfect through the sufferings so that we may lack anything. We may not lack anything, but that we are perfect. Oh Father, let us clearly understand the gospel so that we will always rejoice as your promises are being fulfilled in our lives, in the life of your church. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.